And joining us on the line right now, Dan Bongino, former Secret Service agent, author of the book, The Fight, The Secret Service Agent's Inside Account of Security Failings and the Political Machine. Good day to have him. Good morning to you, Dan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Man, I'm telling you, the Secret Service has had a run here of things that are quite embarrassing, actually. I'm gonna focus on two right off the... I mean, we have jumpers all the time. The people try to jump into the White House security fence, and generally they're arrested in very short order. But there was one last week that we learned about, and it was only recently that we found out that that person jumped the fence and was able to roam the grounds of the White House while the president was in residence for about 17 minutes before being taken into custody. What's your thought about this?
Yeah, Brian. You know, the Secret Service is obviously a zero-error environment. I mean, you just don't get do-overs. God forbid something was to happen to a president or any of the protectees of Secret Service guards. Now, listen, it's funny, I'm writing my third book now, and I can't go into everything that's wrong. There's so much, sadly, wrong with the Secret Service, but I'll give you a few right now that are contributing to these recurring problems. Number one is they just have really disastrous attrition right now in the uniform division of the Secret Service. The guys you see in the police uniforms, you know, the white police shirts with the button-down and the black pants. The attrition is so bad that you have almost this, like, sandwich effect with no meat in the middle. In other words, you have really senior guys in the uniform division, Brian, that are invested in it and can't leave. I mean, they've been there for 15, 20 years. At that point, they're like, I might as well ride it out. And then you have just rookies. You don't have anyone in the middle because when the uniform division officers get their clearance, their top secret clearance, a lot of them leave because they're just tired of being treated like crap at the White House.
And the clearance is valuable.
You know what, Mary, Brian, in that region, you know what, you absolutely know what a top secret clearance is worth. It is a resume game changer for you.
Yeah.
So the men and women just leave for greener pastures. I mean, why be treated like crap at the White House by supervisors and management if you can go get a job for six figures in a consulting firm in the Alexandria, Maryland area, you know?
All right, well, but can I just follow on that? Because, I mean, how does a guy get across the fence and not actually be caught within 17 minutes?
Exactly.
How does that happen? I mean, they knew that he had incurred across the fence, but they couldn't find him.
Yeah, this is where I caused a little controversy, I guess, last week. I did a couple cable appearances, and I said, listen, the White House isn't secure, and I meant it. It wasn't meant to be hyperbolic, well, even though it sounds that way. The White House is not secure, guys. It's just not. The problem with it, it's not the Secret Service's fault. The men and women of the Secret Service, the rank-and-file men and women, have been talking for years about the inadequacies of the security plan. The fence is inadequate. The alarms are inadequate. The personnel are inadequate. The special weapons teams are inadequate. The camera system can be upgraded. You know, we had a joke in the Secret Service that's sadly not funny anymore. And the joke used to be when I was there that, you know, the Secret Service, yesterday's technology, tomorrow. And it was this hesitancy. You ask any agent, they'll tell you they've heard that, where they were so hesitant to upgrade security systems. And here's why. This is the critical reason. Because a lot of the upper management, they're waiting for their big security job when they retire in the consulting arena. And they don't want to sign their name to a big change at the White House for fear if their name's on the change and the new system fails, that they'll be responsible. But that's no way to run a professional organization. It's really sad what's going on right now.
It really is. Can we talk about these Secret Service agents who are under investigation for taking selfies with the president's sleeping grandson?
Yeah.
Is this, when I hear this, my immediately thought, they're newbies, they're of the selfie generation, and they're like, hey, they just don't have a filter as to when it is proper and when it is improper.
Yeah, this one's an interesting one. I got a text from an agent friend of mine, absolutely furious. He's not a cursing kind of guy, and given these are public airways, I'm not even going to give you the abbreviation of what he sent to me, but it was brutal. And he basically said to me, here's the deal. They're so strapped right now for manpower, the Secret Service, given the attrition on the agent side, too, which is bad, that what they're doing is they're bringing in temps from the field to secure the family of the president. That's never happened. That never happened when I was there. So what you're getting now, guys, is you're getting like the wow factor.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you get new agents who've never been around high-level protectees or their grandkids for that matter. And they're sitting there, and this was just a dumb, boneheaded decision. And I'll bet they said, hey, let's send a picture of our wives. Look how cool this is. We're protecting Trump's grandkids. That when you get experienced agents on the Presidential Protection Division who've been on 8 to 10 years, they wouldn't even, I mean, that thought wouldn't even occur to them. If you even mention that in a car, the other agent would laugh you out of the car and probably have you arrested. So So, again, it's a problem bringing on these young temps because they just don't have enough experienced people anymore.
Yeah, and the laptop incident in New York City, we're finding out that apparently this laptop contained a lot of really sensitive information, including the floor plans of Trump Tower, the evacuation plan for the protectees. And I've even read one story. I've only seen one story, but one story suggested that there may have been some sensitive information in that computer regarding the Hillary Clinton investigation into her email server.
Yeah, this is, again, this is one of those, like, the selfie story, these head scratchers where we're all like, this can't really have happened in the Secret Service. Of course you don't take selfies with the grandkid, and of course you don't leave a computer in a car. And I don't get it. The Secret Service put out, when I was there, probably 10,000 emails saying, do not leave any information in a non-secure location. I don't know how many times they have to say it, but if there's anything positive to take from this, it's that those computers are unbelievably difficult to hack into, and remotely wiped. So we'll hopefully that happens.
But all of this together makes me wonder, because you touched on the vetting. And I'm just like, what kind of vetting? Because maybe a common sense vetting might be necessary, because apparently they're not vetting for common sense.
Right. Like I totally agree with you. Like you tell someone a joke and see how they respond. And if they don't get it, you're like, all right, this guy has no common sense. They're out. But, you know, of course, in the government, they'd have to find a way to grade it. And it would be like on a 6,000-point scale instead of a 100-point scale, confusing the hell out of everyone. Because that's what they do best.
Dan Bongino, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time. And have a great week. That's Dan Bongino, former Secret Service agent.